Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Y'all may be seated. Praise your Lord. I feel like the Lord is saying this morning that He's been lonely. You haven't been around enough. He's not talking to me specifically. He's talking about the relationship, the fellowship, the communication between us and Him. Well, Father, we yield our time and our energy and our mind and our emotions and our will to You right now. Right now. Right now. We are hungry people and we need You. We've had too much other stuff and we need You this morning. We yield our tongues and our emotions to You. As we study Your words, reveal Yourself. Reveal Your purposes. Holy Spirit, don't depend on this tongue this morning to communicate, but go directly to the heart and the ear and the eye of everybody here. Change us so that we can be tools, so that we can be used, so that we enter in, so that we can enter into the full joy of salvation. If some has lost their joy, replace it this morning, Spirit, with truth. Truth will set you free. If there's bondage that's been created by something we've done or not done, we break that now in Jesus' name by the power of the Word that's going to come forth this morning, by Your Spirit. If there's health issues that need to be dealt with, we're set free. We don't have to remain there. That's nonsense. Jesus paid too dear a price for us to walk in anything less than what He's provided. We love You and we thank You. Let our love be shown by our hearing and obeying this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody agrees, says, Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a command. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can go home now. I've already received, but I'm greedy. How about you?
Yes.
I want some more. Hallelujah. By the way, that's okay for you to be greedy for God.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
It's fine. I already told you, and I'm going to tell you again so that it's on the tape. I'm going to do a two-part. This Sunday and next Sunday is going to be, it's going to be titled, Without Faith, It is Impossible to Please God. This is part one. And the title of part one is Believe It. God loves you. Believe it. God loves you. Maybe I should title it also, Walk It. God loves you. Not just believe it. Walk it. I feel like too many times that we get in some kind of an image we build for ourselves or other people build for us. I don't know what it is. But we don't really realize the true picture that God has presented to us about freedom and joy and His love for us. We can move from love to law real easy. Oh, yeah. And if anything, let's move back from law back into love this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And you're talking to a guy that's not real loving. So I'm going to enjoy it also. Now you understand that's just by your picture, not mine. I know what I love and who I love and how I love. But sometimes I don't display it. See, I came from a home that didn't hug. Absolutely none. We had no affection. That was for other people. And so you are a product of how you were raised unless God touches you and changes you.
Amen.
Don't ever let the world or anybody else tell you that you're created in an image by your parents that God can't change unless God is not your parent.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So I think God's going to do a work in me. How about you? You receive
Amen.
It now?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to read to you. By the way, this is not what I intended to do. This is what God told me to do this morning early. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm anxious to find out what God's doing. Amen?
Amen.
John 3:16. Now, for those of you that think that you've heard this enough, don't call God a liar. He put it in my spirit to tell you this morning. So open your hearts and minds and receive something fresh.
Yes.
Amen. We got down to Texas and Connie whipped up a dish that my mom used to cook. Fried chicken and none of this chase gravy, country gravy. Chase gravy is when you pour it on a dish, you have to run around after it. It's just good old country gravy is when it's in the pan, you can turn it upside down, it doesn't fall out. And you think I'm kidding. Is that right? Yeah. Pick it up with a spoon and it will not fall out. It really does stick to everything inside of you. I forgot how good that was. I forgot how good that was because dietitians tell you don't eat things like that. Well, I'm eating it and I'm enjoying it. May have to cut back a little bit, but I think that what God wants to do this morning is to take us back to some things that we've let slip.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Everything that you need today is new revelation.
Yes.
Even if you forgot it, you knew it, you can quote it. If you've forgotten to walk in it, it's new revelation.
Yes.
Amen? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. You part of the world? Okay. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever, are you a whoever?
Yes.
All right, the second part of this, believes. So it takes a work on your part. Believes in Him. Will not, should not. I find it interesting that He put in there the word should not. Didn't say you could not. It said you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here are the options that we have. We've got the options of the news media, the doctor's diagnosis, the mechanics, the law enforcement agencies, the mortgages, the business world. We're just overloaded with these kind of words. Did you ever notice that? We're overloaded with words that are anti-Christ. I promise you, you'll hear a million to one words in your daily walk that's anti-Christ. They have nothing to do with building your faith. They have everything to do with destroying your faith. You are to renew your mind. Refresh yourself with word. Does that mean just reading the Bible? No. Absolutely not. The Bible says, this is an instruction, an overview, that the Holy Spirit is going to visit and write words on your heart.
Amen. Great job.
So we need to be open and expecting every day that from word that we have learned, God is going to expound on our hearts. You hear that? Please, I've entered into, you might call it a ministry. It's more like a warfare with a guy down in South Texas. And he'll end up meeting us a couple of times a week over supper. And he's a good, hardcore, King James Version, 1611 Baptist. Do you understand what I mean? Have y'all ever heard that terminology before? Well, I'm nearly call them a cult, but I won't go that far, that believe that the canons, the scrolls, all of the stuff that we base the word on, is of no, it's no good. Please don't try to analyze this. Just listen to me, because it won't make any sense. Most religion doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's just believed. That the only God-given word that ever entered on the face of this earth was the authorized 1611 King James Version of the Bible. Most of you have never even seen that. If you did, it wouldn't impress you. And he just gets severely aggravated at me when I say that God never spoke King James. God was before King James.
Yes.
And he spoke to people before King James ever was born. And he spoke in our calendar on day one, before 1611. Which is it's a lot more than 1611 years before 1611. You see how easy, and what I'm doing is I am ministering to him. He doesn't know it. He thinks we're arguing. But I'm arguing the word. He's arguing the law.
Yeah.
I told him the other day, I said, a man with an experience will always whip up bad on a man. No, I'm sorry, let me say it differently. A man with a testimony or an experience will always kill a man with an argument. He'll just destroy him. And I said, your argument doesn't hold an ounce of weight, because I met the real author of the Word, and he wasn't King James.
That's right. That's right.
If you say to him, God told me, no, no, the devil comes as an angel of light. If you've never argued with one of these characters, you know how blind they get. They want with all their heart to serve God. Don't hear me say that he doesn't want to serve God, because he does. He wants to make it to heaven, but he wants to make it his way. And by the way, you ain't coming unless you do it my way. This is the thing we get tied up in. And what I want this morning, because of your seed offering that you put in, I trust that you believe that that was the Word of God. Therefore, you're trusting that God will perform His Word, not mine. That you're going to have some of these things that you didn't even know happened in your life broken. And it's not going to be by how good a speaker I am. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit of the living God that's not boxed in a 1611 version.
Amen.
He's free. Did you know a God that's in a box can't make me free? He can't do it. My God's not in a box.
Yeah.
Neither am I.
Right.
I'm promising you, it's His Word. It's His Word. He can do with it anything He wants.
Yeah. Right.
Turn Him loose. Let Him free. Let Him be who He wants to be in you. What do we believe? Can I tell you some statements that most of you live by and don't even realize? That my future is a maybe. You think it has to do with how much snow's outside, or how the economy's operating, or if there's a flu epidemic, or if there's some crazy guy drunk on the road that hits me. You think your future's a maybe, and yet your future's sealed.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
That you don't know what your future's going to bring. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who's got my hand.
Amen.
I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who's going to bring tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
Do I need to know? I need to know who has control of tomorrow. That's all I need to know. Is it frustrating? Absolutely. You may not believe this, but I like things orderly. And when I don't know what tomorrow holds, I don't like it.
Amen.
And God works overtime. I hope I don't ever have to pay Him. But He works overtime trying to get me out of the box. And I thank Him for that. I thank Him for that. We believe that our health depends on the next epidemic, when I am the epidemic. The God in me is the epidemic that we're supposed to be spreading. How are we to spread it? With our germs. The one He gave us. That's what Bert did. He was an epidemic of Jesus flu. You couldn't get in his cab without catching some of it.
Amen.
He's going to play you a tape. He's going to minister to you. He's going to do something. So Jesus is spread mostly by mouth. We think our finances depend on interest rates, oil prices, food prices. We believe that if I can work harder, I can make more money. Now that got quiet, didn't it? If I work harder, I can make more money. Well, the world knows that to be the truth. What do you know? See, one of the fallacies, and you let me just stray just for a second, and please don't do anything crazy, but one of the things that I've known in the study of law is that the IRS can only tax you on unearned income. And so they have determined that all of your income is unearned. And yet you believe that you work and earn it. God has set me free in that. You may not understand that. But if all of my work, if all of my income is unearned, in other words, I don't take credit, I don't ever say I have earned anything, then God can give freely. Do I need to say that a different way? For God so loved the world that He gave. So if I'm working, I need to learn to give. So He can give His only begotten Son. Now we just need to figure out who His only begotten Son is. And if you start studying God and His Son, you're going to find out it has everything to do with life and godliness. Everything. You're not getting excited there, and I can't quite figure out why. It's everything. It has nothing to do with categories. It's everything. That means the money that you need. If you quit needing it, you'll get it. Because you are not a people of need. You are a people of already received.
Yes, amen.
Now you need to believe one of the two. You will believe one of the two. That I walk in something less than life and godliness, or I walk in life and godliness. All of my income is unearned. I don't deserve a dime of it. Because if I can work, it's from the health and the ability that God gave me. And He says, you need to be working for me. So if I can just understand that every ounce of work that I do for Him, then guess who owes me, according to His word, the pay? Whatever form that is. If it's a health issue that I need to be paid in, then I, by faith, receive a health issue. If it's money, I, by faith, receive money issue. But my total focus can't be on health or money. It has to be on life and godliness. Now, who determines what life is? God does. Not man. According to the Bible, not even age. Age can't even determine what life is. I just need to quit being told by others' definitions. According to God's Word, He cares for me more than I care about myself. Come on. See, we're a selfish people. We need to admit that. And if we can start admitting that God cares for me more than I care for me, it's the first breakage of selfishness. He cares for me more than I care for myself. Let me say it another way. So if I start caring for myself, I'm going to get a lesser care. Do I need to say that again for you? If I'm caring for myself, I get a second grade care. The Bible says if you'll cast all your cares upon Him, He'll care for you.
Amen.
Now, which one would you rather have? Come on, let's be honest. Let's say it. Let's breathe it in. I would rather have Him care for me than me care for me.
Yes.
Just breathe that in. Let it become a decision in a way of life.
Yes. Yes.
If I truly have cast my cares upon Him, and if I truly believe that I work for Him, then my future is directed by Him and for Him.
Amen.
The work that I do is by Him and for Him. Maybe if we could get that down, maybe our work would accomplish more.
Amen.
Instead of just getting a paycheck. See, I go to work for a paycheck, and when I go home, I get satisfied with a paycheck. Ugh, what a terrible life. If I go to work for God, then it's kind of like the paycheck is surprise. I don't know how big it's going to be, and I don't know what all it'll cover. He watches over me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And His only begotten Son, when He left, said, if I don't go, the Comforter, the Advocate, can't come. So if you don't let Jesus be the Savior, you can't have the Comforter. And we'll get a little more to that in a minute. Let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God is real and alive. He has been here. He is here. He will be wherever I'm at. You need to decide that in your life. I won't be floating out here. I will be, I'm saying floating, but if I'm floating, I'm floating in the Spirit. I'm not going to float in my will, my way, my care. All right.
Stan.
Yes, sir.
Question. So many times people have tried to explain comforter or advocate. Explain this to me.
I think it depends on what I need. Sometimes I get myself in trouble. You might say legally, spiritually. Let me give you a picture that God gave me. And if I upset you, forgive me. Throw it up to the Holy Spirit and let Him explain it. But I always, by this scripture, by the scriptures, God the Father is seated in the throne. God the Father is seated in the throne. Jesus the Son is seated at the right hand of the Father. Forever doing what? Interceding. Jesus is also referred to as an advocate. So, and then we've got the Holy Spirit as an advocate. Now, one of the confusing things, I don't know how far I should go. Let's just not get any deeper on that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is telling us which way to turn. Right, left, stop, go, don't do this, do this. He definitely, I don't think the Holy Spirit does a lot of telling or explaining to the Father. I think He follows the Father's will. But there is Jesus who has to explain us. Did you know God has never been a man? He can't, excuse me on the tape and here just for a second, He can't figure out why we're so stupid. He'll write on stone tablets. What part of thou shalt not don't you understand? And then when we break it, He says, huh? I'll kill him. Kind of like we do with our children sometimes. When we just point blank tell them an absolute law and they break it, our first notion is, I'm going to kill them. And Jesus says, wait a minute, Father. You've never been a man. Let me explain what feeling is behind this. What feeling is behind this? What caused this man to do this thing? And God says, I knew there's a reason I called you grace. I knew there's a reason I called you mercy. I knew there's a reason I called you Emmanuel, Savior. There's our advocacy. The Holy Spirit is trying His best to herd us, to direct our paths. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus are in unity as an advocacy for us. Does that make sense? Now, if it doesn't, talk to God. This is the way He's explained it to me. And so I'm hard-headed and thick-headed sometimes, so maybe He has to talk to me in a different way. Maybe you're quicker. He watches over me. I was in that funeral, I was sitting by a gentleman, by Chuck Jennings. And Chuck said to me, it's not fair. It's not fair. I'm older. I should have gone first. He was a better man. I said, Chuck, God never once in His Word promised to be fair. He promised to be right. Amen. Most Christians don't want to hear that. God's not fair. He's just right. God is always right. He provides everything I need to be in health and to prosper. Please listen to me. The simplest statement in the Bible, you've heard it 1,000 times. Please hear it today. He has provided everything that I need to walk in health and prosper. Now, if I don't believe that, it does not apply to me. And a work, our faith without works, is dead. So even though you can say, this is my faith, I prosper and I walk in health. If you don't work out that believing, it will not apply to you. How do I work out believing? Number one, I say it often enough to where that's what automatically comes out of my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes. Yes.
So how can I know if you're walking in faith? By your mouth.
Yep.
By your mouth. What do you talk about the most? The woes or the blessings? What do you talk about the most? The worries of the future. And we'll get into this real heavy next Sunday. Real heavy. I'm not going to cover everything. I want you to study the Scripture with me for a second. If you'll turn to that John chapter 3, we're going to read a first portion of that, and we're going to just look a little bit. John chapter 3, verse 1. Anytime, let me just make a strong recommendation to you. If God lays on your heart a verse like John 3:16, make sure you read before and after, and you read it very carefully. That means if it means slowly, then read it slowly. If it means reading it six times, read it six times. It's the only way that God's going to slow you down enough to talk to you. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now get that down, a ruler of the Jews. What does that mean? That means this guy was smart. And he knew the word. You hearing me? He knew the word. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, this man came to Jesus by night. Why by night? He didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. And said to him, Rabbi. Now this is a Jewish rabbi saying to a, not a Jew, you might say, Rabbi. We know that you are a teacher come from God. Anybody can see that you're a teacher from God. This is a Jewish ruler. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what word did he say about the kingdom? You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you believe the most? What you see. Isn't it?
Yep.
Now, the good part about being part, born again, is that you open up vision that you've never had before. Scripture will show that here in a minute. You can begin to see things that you never saw before. One of the things that you can see is that the things that are made, they're made from things that you can't see. But you can see that. You understand what I'm saying? You can see, that means you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there are things out there that you can't see. More powerful, sometimes, than what you can actually see. Such as your genetic makeup. You know, has total control of your body, but you have never seen one gene. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now, do you understand? Jesus just said something that can't be seen that you must be able to see. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now we've passed see and we've used the word what? Enter. You can't enter into something that you can't see. Even if it's by the Spirit. Y'all want to argue? Because this is Jesus talking right now. All right. Unless one is born of water, that's the fleshly birth. Do you know why Jesus said, unless you're born of water, you can't enter into the kingdom of God? Because the devil was never born of water. Angelic beings were never born of water. You got that? They were a creation of God, but they were not birthed by God. Not in the way we understand birth. Unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, that's two births. The second erases the first. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There will be no flesh in heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And this is why. The wind blows where it wishes. You know that. And you hear the sound, and you feel the effect of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. Weatherman tries, and he's 70% wrong. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. What do you mean, so is? That means you don't know really where you came from, and you don't know where you're going, but you believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that you came from God, and you're going to God. You don't even know where that is. And did you get that? Until you see that, and until you enter into that, there is no life, there is no health, there is no prosperity, there is no surety in your life. Unless you know where you come from and know where you're going. See, the minute you know where you're going, life has no more effect on you. The minute you know that you didn't come from your father and your mother, you came from a higher being, then your history doesn't follow you. Your history's erased. I just told you some powerful stuff. I hope you remember that. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? This is after Nicodemus said, what are you talking about? Or let me say it like the Bible says, how can this be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You see, sometimes, like every time I get up here before you, this is what God says to me. You're a teacher and you don't know this? Let me tell you, let me set you free for a second. Every time you visit God, God needs to say that to you. Because He needs to be saying something new and fresh to you. And if you've heard it 1,000 times, it doesn't make any difference. The minute you see it and you know it, then He can say, you want to teach others and you don't even know this? Now, that wasn't a negative statement I made. Do you understand that? When God put in my spirit this morning, John 3:16, you go, I know that. He says, no, you don't. Or I wouldn't be telling you again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. See, enter. You do not see, you do not enter. You do not receive the witness. I was talking to this gentleman, the 1611 believer. And I've shared with you before. I'll remind you again about Paul Lavoie. And I reaffirmed it again the way I remembered it. Now, this is for all of you people that think that the sinner's prayer has to be prayed. The evangelist has to pray a certain message. The organ has to play a certain tune. The knee has to enter a certain place before you can be saved. Because that's exactly what 1611 version and all law believes. If you don't do it the way I believe it, you didn't do it. Paul Lavoie was a scoundrel. And his wife prayed, and his wife prayed, and his wife prayed. And one day, to get her to shut up, he went to church with her. Now, I'm not lying. He can hear this tape, and he'll verify it. To get her to shut up, quit asking me to go to church, he went to church. He told me the other day, because I brought this up to the 1611 guy, because he's telling me the love of Christ, but he was preaching law. Be very careful when you minister. Don't ever minister law, because God will throw it up in your face. He will not allow you to teach law. And I said, well, you're absolutely wrong. He said, what do you mean I'm wrong? I said, there's Paul. Is Paul saved? Well, I think so. They're good friends. He knows Paul's saved. And I said, well, Paul didn't do it your way. He didn't do it your way. In rebellion, he walked into church. And the preacher was talking on tithe that day, which that preacher was good at doing. And he talked and talked and talked on tithe. And then he gave an altar call. That's law. I mean, that fits, doesn't it? And Paul said, Stan, I don't have the slightest idea what happened. Nobody asked me to come and I didn't hear anything. The next thing I know, I'm standing in front. And I don't know why. I found out I'm in front and I can't figure out why. Because I don't want nothing this bunch has got. And he said, all I know is I was changed. I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing. Except I just showed up. He said, then he's not saved. Really? Why? Because he didn't do it according to the Bible. You got to repent with your mouth. My word, if Paul would have repented his sins with his mouth, we'd still be there listening to it. God knows that. God knows he didn't have the time to put up with this nonsense called total repentance. You know how to totally repent? Just be sorry. Just be sorry. Don't do it again. Make your intentions, I'm not going to do it again. And you've repented. I looked at Paul and I said, Paul, you didn't know. You just didn't know that you're not saved because God forgot to ask him. I said, from now on, Paul, your new ministry, your new good news is, as soon as it goes through Neil, you can be saved. Now, do you want to serve a God like that?
No.
Do you want to have a belief system like that?
No.
Or do you want to be set free? Let me say this carefully. Or do you want to be set free in whatever God is doing, however He's doing it? And He will torque you. I promise He'll torque you. He'll make your head spin around someday because you thought it was this way and He did it this way. He's never fair. He's always right.
Yes. Yes.
He knew what it was going to take to deal with Paul. And salesmanship, law, wasn't going to get it.
That's right.
For God so loved, listen to me again, the world, Paul was the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. What did Paul get when he showed up and not even knowing why? He got the Son. He didn't even know the Son. He didn't give a flip about the Son, but he got Him. And he got Him in a way that he can't ever turn away from it again. 20 years ago, Bert Haynes met the Son. And he couldn't stop talking about it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's finish this. Verse 12, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Who's this talking? Where did he say he was? Now, if you don't think Jesus won't play with you a little bit, if you don't think the Holy Spirit won't make you stop and go, oh, then you don't know Him very well. The minute we think we got it down, He pulls something on us and He makes us think a little different. Hardening the arteries comes from that vessel or that artery never expanding and contracting. I've told you before, the best place that I can be with God is in the hot tub. Because in the hot tub, I begin to sweat. And the arteries begin to open. And my mind gets stopped because it's being pounded by heat. It stops thinking about all the other garbage around. And all of a sudden, God starts to speak. Because my spiritual and my physical arteries are being flexed. Therefore, plaque cannot build up. You understand? If God is always twisting you a little bit, then you're not getting hard. You're not getting hard. And you know what He's doing? He's proving to you He loves you.
Amen.
My wife gets all... She's the world's worst. Not the world's worst. There's at least one other lady that's at least as bad as her in this church. About just wanting to work, going 24-7, blah, 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 blah. And every once in a while, I can do this. I can go. And everything breaks in her. Everything stops. For God so loved the world that He gave. You know what He's going to give you today, tomorrow, the next day? He's going to give you whatever it takes to break you. We need to stop thinking that breaking is a negative thing.
Yes. Yes.
It's a thing that keeps you getting hard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why did he bring that up? Because Nicodemus had history about that. He knew about that one. He may not understand it, the same thing about Jesus being lifted up. God's massaging, working. Verse 15. This is why the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, starting at heaven. Now this is the way the devil does you, and I didn't hear you respond. I put my own words in there, and you didn't react. You need to do that because the devil's good about putting his words in the Scripture. I'm going to read it to you again. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life on this earth. No. No. The reason I want you to say no is because you shall not perish means now. That's the covenant that God made to you in the Old Testament and the New through Jesus Christ. You shall not perish, but you shall have everlasting life. How can you scare me with death if your threat has no teeth? If your threat has no voice, has no power, no constitution, no legality? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If I believe, Gene, I'm saved. That means I'm safe. I'm sozoed. And you know, remember I said from and to? I'm saved from death and destruction, and I'm saved into life, and that more abundant.
Amen.
Do you know that about yourself? See, you're not safe unless you know that. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been removed from the penalty of sin, which is destruction. I've been removed from that. Y'all don't look at me that way. I am not a participant. I am not an heir to destruction.
Amen.
Therefore, I do not walk in destruction. I have entered into salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe that God the Father gave me salvation in Genesis 1:1, and He gave it to me again when Jesus died and resurrected. I received it a better, a fresh, and a new. It opened up not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And I am an heir to salvation, eternal life, starting the minute that I was a thought in God's mind, which was before the foundations of the earth, when He numbered the hairs on my head. God loves you that much. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He loves you. 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. Now let me tell you something. Please listen carefully. In the Old Testament, there was no removal of sin. There was only covering up. The blood of bulls and goats covered sin. It covered you in your sin. It covered you from the penalty of sin, which was death. But it did not remove sin. The blood of the perfect Lamb removed the sin. Removed it. Removed it. Therefore, the condemnation that sin brings is now removed. Therefore, I have no condemnation. The scripture on your refrigerator, Karen, says you have no condemnation. That's what it says, right? Doesn't make any difference about your parents. It doesn't make any difference about your foolish youth. whatever youth means. As you get older, youth covers a larger spectrum. Praise the Lord. This is a good word. I'm enjoying it. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. Without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please God. Now, we make that way too narrow. Pleasing God means no sin. Without him, without Jesus, you cannot be good in God's eyes. You got to still be operating in bulls and goats' blood. By the word, the operative word there is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You'd insult me if you didn't believe that I had a son and that I call him son. You'd aggravate me. I have a son and I call him son. And he's an heir to everything that I've got. And if you are against him, you are against me.
Yes, that's right.
Why can't we understand such simplicity? 19. And this is the condemnation. This is how condemnation is walked out. This is how it's proven. But he who does not believe is condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Okay, do you know how broad a statement that is? Let me read the rest of it and we'll go. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. What is evil? Anything that's antichrist. What is antichrist? Not believing on him. Not trusting that you've been saved. You're free. You have life eternal. There's therefore now no condemnation in those that believe in him. If you ever have that little stuff going in your life that you don't want people to see, you haven't moved into the light yet.
Yep.
We're not talking about what the world teaches you that you shouldn't be seeing. We've got some weird standards there. Weird things.
Yep.
I'm talking about in my everyday life, in my everyday conversation, when I'm mad and when I'm glad, am I the same yesterday, today, and forever as my Lord is? You want to hear a nonsensical statement? Somebody that's saved never gets angry. My Bible commands me to be angry and sin not.
That's right.
Did you get that part? My Bible commands me to be angry. Just don't sin. God gets angry.
Right.
You get angry at the world. Noah survived. He didn't sin. God didn't sin. Please, learn the Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you from the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So that when you talk about a subject, you're accessing the whole hard drive and not just little pieces of it. God will make so much more sense if you'll just receive it all. 21. But he who does the truth, he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Oh. Anybody else got a different version? Harry, you got the NIV? What does the NIV say that verse 21 says?
But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
Okay, through God. This says in God, yeah. Paul walked up, didn't know why. And the Holy Spirit said, you see these things you've been doing? Paul had no teaching at all. He's the only man I ever met in my life that thought that stealing was okay. Because it's a normal way of life. And God said to him, In a second, in a millisecond, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you are displeasing God. And Paul said, I don't want to do that. He didn't even know who God was. And yet the Holy Spirit, in a millisecond, explained Genesis to Revelation, and he didn't want to hurt a God that he'd never met. He never wanted to hurt him again. Doesn't fit any of our theology, does it? But it, a man with a testimony beats up bad on a man with an argument.
That's right.
Always. One day, soon, Paul will probably be here. I'll let him testify about this stuff. And then you ask him, are you sure? I dare you. I was down on the bayfront walking with him one day. He wanted to witness. He wanted to witness to those that are lost. He knelt down beside a car. Talked to the passenger seat, front seat, passenger back seat. He knelt down and he was looking eye to eye on the curb to this guy, just ministering up a storm. And the guy in the back didn't like it. He didn't want anything to do with this crazy Christian. And I'm over here looking. And he took a swing. The guy in the back seat went, and he hit something. As God is my witness, he hit something. I heard it hit. The window wasn't up. And he looked at his hand. Looked around and he tried it again. Paul never knew this was going on. A lot of times God's taking care of you when you don't even know what's going on.
Right.
And the guy looked at his fist again and he put it away and he didn't try it again. You could call him Nicodemus if you wanted to. Because Nicodemus, or that guy in that back seat, saw something that he knew only God could do. And he was smart enough not to try it again, because God will always win. Are we that smart? Are we that smart? Let me run through something quickly with you. Here's what we must understand. I've got 9 or 10 things here from this scripture that you got to understand. See, it's... Are you on medicine? I listened to a good Baptist preacher. Well, he was a Baptist preacher. He had a good testimony. He said, everybody look at your watch. Everybody look at your watch right now. Everybody look. Now you know what time it is. You won't have to look again. If you're on medicine, I'll remind you every once in a while what time it is. Anyway, can you believe this? While I was gone, I attended Corpus Christi First Baptist Church on the Bayfront. And I would, because my cousin invited me, and because my his wife plays in the band and sings in the choir, I went. I went. Y'all ever do that? Go with God? You mumble. You murmur. And God put this corkscrew of an evangelist there that I nearly left. He was so stupid. In the first 10 minutes of talking about himself, I said, I got to go. I'm not going to put up with this. And yet I stayed, and God touched the whole place out of this corkscrew. He was a screwball. Right? And it turned out to be a good message. Because I waited upon the Lord. I didn't wait upon Him. Let's go on. Number one. We might understand and believe the wrong thing. Shall I make an inventory here? Do you believe that you could believe and understand the wrong thing? Everybody here, just put yourself in that category. I might be wrong. Don't be wrong about what you know about Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Don't be wrong about that unless you're wrong. And don't listen to anybody else tell you wrong. Wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you wrong. I promise you, He is faithful. Don't worry that you might go off in doubt and unbelief, because if you're really seeking after Him, it won't happen. Nicodemus was seeking God. Don't tell me he didn't. He was a religious nut. He thought he was doing what was right. Paul, the apostle, was killing Christians because he thought it was right, not because he thought it was wrong. Something supernatural had to come and say, you're wrong. And he had to be man enough or woman enough to say, huh? Me? But the Bible says we can end up this place. I was doing all of this in your name. God says, not in my name you were. Don't ever be caught there. If you are, repent quickly and don't do it again. By the way, for Christians, you can expect that on a daily basis. That's an exciting part of Christianity. New every morning. If it's new every morning, something has to be changing every morning. The definition of a fool. Doing the same thing every day, every day, every day, and expect a change. Two, the only person that can really teach truth is one that is sent by God. There were two people there teaching truths as they knew it. One was right, one wasn't.
Yep.
One was sent by God, one was doing what he thought was right. Three, the only way to comprehend the joy, the depth, the completeness, the magnificence of God's safe and full plan for us is being born again through Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to understand, see and enter in. You've got to believe in something you've never seen, but you know. And because you can't see it and touch it, you're going to have to know Him every day. In the biblical sense. What does that mean in the biblical sense? That means spiritually, you're going to have to get intimate and have Jesus birthed in you, fresh and new, every day. I don't know where it's going to go. I got a vision right now of intimacy. I can't put it anywhere yet, but there's stages of intimacy. There's the stage such as we think is intimate. We get up and raise our hand, cry a few tears, and God ministers a little. And then there's Moses, who he gets intimate with God and comes out glowing. Glowing, man. And then there's a third step of intimacy. When you get so intimate with God that you have Jesus. Mary got intimate. And she got pregnant. We got to figure out which one we want to stay at. Number four, we will not enter into God's kingdom until our salvation is complete. That is until we are filled with the Spirit of God. Number five, we cannot understand earthly or spiritually things. We cannot understand earthly or spiritual things without the Spirit of God. You notice I just said two things. I said you can't understand earthly things and you can't understand spiritual things without the Spirit of God. You want to get smart, you get the Spirit. You want to get smart in spiritual things, you get the Spirit. Believing in God, that is who He is and how much He loves us and cares for us, brings us salvation and deliverance from all destruction. That means I'm not going to worry about driving home today. I'm not going to worry about getting up tomorrow. Well, let me make it short. I'm not going to worry. Number seven, in Jesus, all condemnation is gone. In Jesus, all condemnation is gone. Karen, in Jesus, all condemnation is gone. Bob? All. And if something tries to come back in, you say, all. All gone. Not by what you said, but what Jesus did. All gone. All gone. Who in here has never made a mistake? Then you have something that needs to be gone.
Yes.
Because you still remember the mistake. Who's faithful to bring up to your remembrance sin? The devil. Never God. If sin is brought up to you, it is not God, and you need to curse that voice.
Yes.
Because you don't owe Him anything.
Amen.
He didn't pay nothing for you. Jesus did.
Right.
He set the rules according to His payment. We forget. We go visit a doctor. He wants payment. I have a doctor called the Supreme Physician, and he paid to see me. See, that's love.
Yes.
That's love. Number eight, if we are free from condemnation, we walk like it. We talk like it. We act like it. Because we talk free. We don't have to do things in secret places or in darkness. We're not required to do that. Only evil requires us to be secret. If God's in me, He needs to come out. He doesn't like to be in secret.
Yes. Amen.
He needs to come out in my walk and in my talk and my actions. He needs to be... You know God's a daredevil? He'll make you do crazy things, the world says. You know why? Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. When I was down there this last time, a few days ago, I made a bid on a 65-foot boat. Why? I think God can prosper me in the craziest things. What do you need a 65? I don't want a 65-foot boat. I want prosperity. Amen. The people of God were thirsty. They got water out of the rock. Mm-hmm. They didn't need the rock. They needed the water.
Right.
Don't be afraid. God's not afraid. He can squeeze your future out of anything. Number 9, in the purity provided by Jesus, God is proud of us. He wants to be seen with us. Okay, I'll let it soak in a little bit. I don't know if anybody's ever told you God's proud of you. But I promise you, if you've entered in through the Son, He's proud. Mm-hmm. Not just proud up there, hiding. He wants to be seen in and with you. He wants to, let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. He wants to stand by you. He wants ministry to go on when you don't even know it's going on by revealing you're His minister. You're not even saying it, but other people are seeing it. What are they seeing? They're seeing God being proud of you. You guys are hearing the word this morning because God is proud of me. That's hard to say. But God doesn't come out of anything He's not proud of.
Right.
One of the things I've missed is Jean's piano playing. Because I know that through her playing, God is coming out.
Amen.
He's proud of her.
Yes.
You can testify. You can witness. You can work. Whatever it is you're doing, it's God coming out of you if you believe in Him. And I'd much rather have you see Him than me. Because I promise you, I'll fail you. I promise you I will. It's just in my genes that you're looking at. But if you're looking at the real me, then you're seeing God. Bert looked good yesterday in that coffin. He looked good. I walked in that place. I walked up to that coffin and I wanted to weep. Didn't even know why. Bert was not my best friend. Bert was a good man. I want to pay him some respect. But I'm standing in the presence of what God is doing. You hear me? We need to understand, if we're standing at the coffin of a Christian, we're in the presence of what God is doing, not what He's already done. You could have walked up to the tomb where Jesus lay, and you should have been touched because of what God was doing. Don't be touched when He leaves. When Bert leaves, it's too late to be touched. Be touched in the presence of what God's doing. Now, if that's the case, can you be touched by what God's doing in you right now? Come on. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's in and with you, then you can be touched by that very fact. Then you know God loves you. If you're never touched by that, you can't even know for sure God loves you. Number 10, we bear His attributes, not the attributes of the world, and its father the devil. The next two pages are just remembrances, reminding you of Scripture, of who you are. You don't need to hear that. As you've said here this morning, God's already told you who you are.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, if this is not spoken to you, then what you need to do is get yourself up here now. Just like Paul showed up, don't even know why. You don't have to know why. You just have to know, I want what he's talking about. If you need that this morning, you need to show up. You need to come now. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm good. The Holy Spirit is good. What's been done here is good. Don't deny it and don't reject it. Take advantage. If you need some prayer, why don't you raise a hand right quick? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Then why don't you come on up here? You're not volunteering for anything except whatever God wants to do. I said this morning that what God was going to do here this morning had nothing to do with sin, with wrong, with anything. It has to do with He wants you to be free. That's all I'm offering this morning. I'm not offering Stan's denomination or Stan's religion or Stan's belief. I'm telling you that there's a source higher than me that wants you to be freer than me. And I want to be free. I want to be free bad. But there's a source higher than me that wants you to be freer than me. Come on up here. Come on up. God saw you. God saw you. If you can't make it up here, then just bow your head where you are. We're not going to do condemnation. Jesus was not the Father of condemnation, neither was God the Father. He was not the Father of condemnation. He's the Father. Everything He's ever done since Genesis 1:1 has been to set us free. The great part about the study of the Old Testament, you see God has spent our entire earth history trying to set us free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Okay, I can relate to that. I can. I think everybody in here can relate to that. Surgery, okay. Get her this CD or DVD or whatever she has access to play it for. Well, somehow she'll get it. She needs to be set free. God is in the mode of telling you how much He loves you today. Yeah. That's what she needs to hear. It's what you need to hear. It's what I need to hear. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. That whoever would believe, now listen to me carefully, might be safe. I'm talking to people that are saved, but you need to be safe. Amen? I need that. Father, we said at the beginning, we're a hungry people. Yes. There are things that have happened in Bill's life, and in Harry's life, and in Stan's life, and in Gene's life. And a lot of these things have happened recently that would shake our faith, that would cause us to look down instead of keeping our eyes fixed and gazed, just lost in You. And I believe that's why You told me this morning, preach this message. Never preached this before. I'm doing it now for You, Father, for Your people. I have planted a seed of obedience. I expect in Jesus' name a harvest. And I thank You for it. I ask You now in Jesus' name, Father, Your people are set free. They're set free. No, there's now, therefore, no condemnation. Because you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. You hear that, Bob? You hear that, Karen? There is no condemnation. You got a grin on your face. You feel like you were born again. Again. I told my dad that way one. My mom and dad one time, I went to church here. And after the message, I said, I feel like I've been born again again. I speak that feeling into your people today. I speak that feeling into your people today. Born again again. Fresh and anew into belief and into faith like never before. I know Harry's faith is strong. Now I know it's stronger. Watch out, devil. Watch out. He's going to hurt you. Marie's walked in faith. Her faith is stronger now than ever before. And I give You praise, Father. Bill's faith is strong, but it's stronger. Jean's, everybody in here. Don't be mad if I forget, if I don't say your name. My wife's faith is stronger than ever before. Mine is, in Jesus' name. Everybody in here, say, my faith is stronger.
My faith is stronger.
My heart is clearer.
My heart is clearer.
I am freer.
I am freer
than I've ever been before. God didn't ask your English teacher if that was good English. He just took your profession of faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, those people in this place that were brought up, the one, your child, that has this surgery and has been, her mind is being clouded by drugs, we curse the effect, the negative effect of the drugs and the surgery. We invoke the positive effect. We clear her ears and eyes now so their eyes look to you. She receives healing and she begins to thank and praise like never before. Her husband is blessed because he comes here and he blesses us with his presence. You are blessing him with your presence. And I give you praise for that.
Yes.
Everybody that's worked in this church, everybody that's put effort into it, everybody that's faithful, they're blessed now in Jesus' name because of the work that God has done here today. How many of you know, oh no, don't just say it. Whether you see it yet or not, say it. The work is done.
The work is done.
The work is done. Say it loud. The work is done.
Done.
Now all you need to do is trust the Holy Spirit to explain to you the tremendous area that's covered by saying the work is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no, I don't care who's in here right now, there is no hidden thing from God. And if you said the work is done, then everything that you thought was hidden was brought out into light and was destroyed by light.
Hallelujah.
Light destroys darkness. You know that, don't you? Okay, so the work is done. The feelings that you've had, Bill, you need to just trust God's feelings about you. God loves you. God's proud of you. Man alive. That ought to set all of us to dancing.
Yes.
God's proud of you. Now, I speak one other thing to everybody in here, including myself, my wife, that now God doesn't just stop there, that He requires of us testimony. Testimony. Working it out. Walking it out. Where you become a minister of the living God. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You're not ashamed. And you begin to, God begins to put His arm around you, walk beside you, you don't even know it. And people start being affected by God in and with you. Amen? The world can be changed. One of the things we know about Bert, anybody knows about Bert, he had a personality of a shoe. He had no personality. He mumbled when he talked. He didn't qualify as a minister in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He wasn't pretty. He was overweight. He just kind of waddled and he drove a taxi cab. Now, what part of that does anybody want to fall in love with? But I heard maybe it was his granddaughter, somebody said, "You've never been hugged until you're hugged by Bert." He had a way of hugging you. You know who was hugging you? If you got hugged by Bert, you know what hug you were recognizing? See, if we can just learn to understand that it's not us and anything, it's God. Then we can become that more effective minister that God wants us to be. I don't need a title. I got God.
Amen.
I don't need an introduction. I got God.
Amen. Yes.
You know, if he's the author and finisher of everything that I believe, I don't need anything. I got God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let it be said of all of us, not just when we die, but of every day, you don't know Him. Somebody came to me yesterday. They were going to have a dinner at 1 o'clock. For the family of Bert was going to feed everybody that came. Now, if you know my history, you know that I've had some rough times with churches here in this town. Met a lot of people, ministered to a lot of people. God did, through me. And sometimes you get to feeling sorry for yourself and nobody recognizes that. The man said, "Aren't you going to go to lunch?" I said, "No. I'm not their family. This should be a media family." And I still believe that. That's respect, I think. The man looked at me and he said, "You have no idea the extent of your family in this town. Those people that respect you." Okay? Can I receive that? Not by who I am, but by whose I am.
Yes.
I receive that. And I'd say that about everybody in here. You don't have the slightest idea how many you've touched, how many you're going to touch. God's going to pat you himself. He's going to pat you on the back one day and let you have just a glimpse of what he saw. You're going to be amazed at that time. You're going to have faith until that time. But the times, Harry, when you think you screw up, Stan, when you think you screw up, he shows you that in a glimpse of how he was using you that time. You're going to be amazed. You're going to say, God couldn't have. Oh, yeah, he did. Look at that. We need to have that confidence now.
Yes.
Not wait till we die. Not have some preacher have to lie over us because of what we don't understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? Come on, all hearts clear? Amen's a good word if it is, and oh me if you need some help. All hearts clear? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your loving touch. We always thank you for your touch, but today we thank you for your loving touch. It's going to carry us a long ways. A long ways. It's going to carry us until you need to say it to us again because we're a forgetful people. In the meantime, let us minister mightily in and through you. The world needs you badly. Bert knew that. Let that rub off on us. The world needs you. Therefore, they need us badly. I make a commitment to you that I'm totally dedicated to the fact that I need to be working for you 24/7. Never let me back away from that commitment to you. And I will, for eternity, be grateful. Hallelujah. It is finished. Jesus said that. It is finished. Everybody that agrees with that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll be blessed. Praise your Lord. Be expecting miracles in your life too. God doesn't show up empty-handed.